we are 1 week removed from the NFL draft. Last week was an incredible round one last Thursday, an incredible Pigskin Frenzy draft special. Now we are flipping the script, turning the page. We are about to get into our last round, our last bit of NFL draft coverage, and it's a little bit of a post-NFL draft coverage before we completely move on from the NFL draft. We have that. Not only that, it's time to tell the truth a little bit here on this show, and we're going to tell the truth here with our winners and losers of our NFL drafts. So, guys, keep on plugging into Pigskin Frenzy. Welcome to Pigskin Frenzy, by the way, on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others. Instagram, X, and Facebook. Just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You're going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's NFL trivia question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. The website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can learn more about me on that, on the home and about me page. There's also a platforms page for all the platforms I just mentioned. You can go and click on each and every one of those to see which one fits your style of listening or viewing pleasure, as well as our affiliations page with our partners at the Beer Club. If you want to have, you know, just a good need for, you know, facial hair products or just feel good about yourself in general, men and significant others of men, you're going to want to hear this. It's the Beer Club, and that is where your grooming needs are going to be met. You can get a beard grooming kit and a growthing kit, as well as a bunch of other products like body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, a loofah, brush, beard oil, beard balm, you name it, to just keep your facial hair and your grooming needs met at the Beer Club. Go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can click on the affiliations page, and then once you get to the affiliations page, click on the Beer Club logo. You're not going to be disappointed. You click on the logo, you shop for all your products there, use that 15% off coupon and discount for the Beer Club products. You can go to my Linktree, X, Instagram, and Facebook, and click on my Linktree, the bio of my social media pages. Click on the Linktree. You will click on the Beer Club link on that Linktree, and you will go straight to the Beer Club. The Beer Club, it is what's going to help you with your beard and grooming needs. Thank you for our proud partners at the Beer Club for making everything possible. NFL Day Today. That was quick. See how I just did that? That was just shazoom, you know, just real quick. I'm not going to say shazoom again. That was rough. Anyway, so NFL Day Today. Let's talk about what happened last week. And before we get into that, next week, we have a little bit of, you know, we have workouts, and that's what's going to start back up. We have a mini rookie camp starting up next week. We have a mandatory mini camp, rookie camp starting next week. We have OTA starting, and I think, as far as I know, we have rookie camp next week. OTA start in May 20th through May 31st, and mandatory mini camp June, you know, all the way to June 10th is when a lot of mandatory mini camp starts. The rookie mini camp starts next week. In 2 weeks, OTAs and mandatory mini camp at the first week of June. For all 32 NFL teams, we are going to rock and roll with that. So have some updates and some latest, you know, stuff going on with updates on mini camp and OTAs, and talk about what's going on around the camps. And as we get ready for more of the off season before, you know, September rolls around for NFL football here around for Pigskin Frenzy. So as we head into that, we got to talk about this NFL draft. And last week, it was a doozy, as I like to say. It really was a doozy. And not O'Dunsey, not Romo Dunsey, not the wide receiver who got drafted last week, round one, pick number 9. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But it was a doozy. Six quarterbacks were taken in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft last week. My mock draft did some justice. Actually, in the first round, I got a lot of picks right. A lot of players that I thought were going to go in the first round did go in the first round. Xavier Leggett to be included. He went round one, pick 32, but he didn't go to the Kansas City Chiefs. No, he went to the Carolina Panthers. They traded up, and we're going to get into that here in a little bit when we talk about the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Panthers. You already know what happened, but we're going to discuss my thoughts on that as well. Xavier Leggett got taken. Tyler Guyton got taken to the Dallas Cowboys. We had six quarterbacks go in the first round, and one of them was a complete shocker. We're going to dive deep into that one as well. Picks that I've gotten right. Number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. He went to the Chicago Bears. Got that one right. Jaden Daniels, got that one right. Drake May going to the Patriots, got that one right. J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings. I said that he was going to get traded up to four, and they were going to go to, and he was going to go to the Vikings. Well, they did trade up, but he fell to number 10, and he went to the Vikings at number 10. And I got that one right. I thought he fit Sean Payton's system, and I'm wrong on the team that he went to. I was right on the team that he went to last week. I thought he fit more of a Sean Payton system. I still think so in some weird way. But let's just see what happens with Kevin O'Connell's offense and J.J. McCarthy and see how he learns. Sam Darnold is expected to be the starter going into the training camp. So we'll see what happens there. But he is a Viking. I got that one right. And also I got the numbers right. Technically, because I've always said that J.J. McCarthy in the first round, he's a first round quarterback, but he falls around the either in the top 10, like number 10, or right outside the top 10, or right outside the 10 through 12 mark is where I found J.J. McCarthy. And I was right. He fell between those spots. He was number 10. He was in the top 10, but just in the top 10. And that's what I felt that J.J. McCarthy fell to. That's what I felt in my heart. That's the spot that he was going to land in. And that's where it was a correct spot for him. I'm not saying that he's not a first-round quarterback and he's not an excellent quarterback. Listen, to win a Super Bowl, you don't have to be the number one overall pick. Patrick Mahomes, pick number 10 in the 2017 NFL draft. He's won three Super Bowls with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and he's the best quarterback in our league today. So, you don't have to be the number one overall pick or number two overall pick to do something. Tom Brady's a perfect example of that. Round 6 to 7. Hello, Tom. And he was a Saturday pick, a late Saturday pick. And has been to more Super Bowls than anybody, and has won more Super Bowls than anybody, and has more Super Bowl MVPs than most. So, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, the GOAT, it's just, honestly, you don't have to be the number one and number two overall picks to do something. So, and that's okay. J.J. McCarthy fit around those spots. In my book, I honestly thought he was going to go around those spots, and he did. Now, there were some things that I got wrong, obviously. I thought that Liatu Latu was going to the Bucs. He did not. He ended up going to the Colts. I thought that Jared Verse was going to get taken in the first round. I did not expect him to go to the Los Angeles Rams, but he did. I expected Byron Murphy to go in the first round, and he fell to the second round. I thought Kool-Aid McKinstry was going to go in the first round. He fell to the second round. I honestly thought that I thought there was a lot of picks that I thought that were going to go similar, you know, to what I said, but didn't go that similar at all. I thought number 8 was shocking. Dallas Turner. I thought Dallas Turner was going to the Atlanta Falcons. They needed an edge rusher. The Falcons needed an edge rusher. And one team that traded up to go at number 17 to get Dallas Turner also needed an edge rusher, and I completely just didn't think about it. The Minnesota Vikings, they needed an edge rusher after losing Danielle Hunter to the Houston Texans in free agency. They needed another edge rusher. They picked up one of the best in the draft with Dallas Turner. So two first-round picks for the Vikings, two good first-round picks for the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy at 10 and Dallas Turner from Alabama edge rusher at 17 with that pick. They traded up to get, you know, Dallas Turner. Good trade there. Not a lot of trades that we were going to be talking about in this draft. I thought there were going to be more trades in the first round, but there wasn't a lot of trades in the first round. I thought that a lot of the trades happened Friday and Saturday. Majority on Friday. I think a lot of trades happened on Friday. Chargers surprised me a little bit. I thought the Chargers were going to select a wide receiver, one of the top ones. They did not. They wanted offensive lineman Joe Alt from Notre Dame, which is not a bad pick. It's not a bad pick. But when you look at just, you know, what the Chargers needed as well, I thought that they were going to pick, you know, wide receiver, top wide receiver early because they needed a top wide receiver. But they didn't do that. The Chargers waited until the second round to pick a wide receiver. They traded up, and they selected Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. I thought he was going to go first round. He ended up going second round. So that was the Chargers as well. And just a lot of things happened in this draft in the first round that really just caught my attention. I'm just spouting out random moments, random teams, random picks. But the round one was a doozy. It was known for mainly the quarterbacks. I thought the quarterback selections were quite strong. Six quarterbacks off the board. Six in the first round. And then you had 14 straight offensive players up until the 15th pick. Crazy, honestly. 14 straight offensive players from quarterbacks to offensive tackles to receivers. 14 straight offensive selections in that draft straight. And this is just me recapping the draft before I get to my winners and losers. I'm just talking about the draft overall and the hype around it and just getting you my honest thoughts, my recap of it from last week before I go to the winners and losers, and then we'll conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. Not going to be a too long of a podcast episode, but kind of an exciting episode. I'm really excited to talk about what happened last week. The Falcons, if we can just go over to the Falcons really quick, when they selected Dallas Turner, or they did not select Dallas Turner, like I said, the Vikings select him. Number eight, I thought they were going to use it on him or an edge rusher, maybe even Liatu Latu. He fell to the Colts. I thought they were going to use it on an edge rusher. They did not. They used it on quarterback Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. Let me just say this. I think he's a great quarterback. I think besides Caleb Williams and maybe even Jaden Daniels, he is the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. I think today, if he could go on a team, he can start. I'm not joking. I think Michael Penix Jr. can start on an NFL roster. Hands down, I believe that with all my heart. So when I found out that the Falcons picked him at eight, I was stunned. I was shocked. I honestly, I got the message in saying the Falcons are about to shock everybody. I'm like, what are you talking about? And no one said anything to me, but all I got was on X, they're about to shock everybody. And they shocked everybody by picking Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. I was stunned to the point where I was just thinking to myself, they just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year deal, $180 million to be exact. $180 million, $90 million guaranteed money, four-year deal for the next 4 years. Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback for now, and Michael Penix Jr. will sit behind Kirk Cousins and learn from Kirk Cousins, and we'll see what happens in 4 years. So pretty much majority or all of Michael Penix's rookie contract will be spent on the bench. Will he play a down for the Falcons? Yes, he will play a down for the Falcons if Kirk Cousins gets hurt or something goes down with Kirk Cousins where he doesn't want to be in Atlanta anymore. But I think Kirk Cousins is going to be there for 4 years, and he's going to be on the bench learning from Kirk Cousins. Now, look, there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that, and we're going to get into the Falcons here in a little bit on draft grades and how I rank the Falcons draft grades and everything. for the Falcons, this for right now, when I see about this pick and talk about this pick with Michael Penix Jr., it's a good pick because it's Michael Penix Jr. He's a solid quarterback. I just think the wrong team got him. You want to talk the truth? I said it to start the episode. You want to tell the truth? Let's tell the truth. I think it was a bad pick because of the team that picked him. I think Raheem, listen, if the Falcons didn't get a quarterback and they didn't sign Kirk Cousins, that was a fantastic pick because Michael Penix is ready to start now. Does he need to learn on some stuff? Absolutely. It doesn't hurt to sit behind somebody and learn. Jordan Love did it, and Jordan Love had a pretty solid season as the Packers starting quarterback his first season this season. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with sitting. Not saying that. What I am saying is that I think that Michael Penix doesn't need to learn a whole lot, and he is a pro-ready quarterback that doesn't need to sit on the bench for too long. But he's going to. He's going to sit on the bench for a long time because who picked him? The Falcons are going to have Kirk Cousins as their starting quarterback. I love Kirk Cousins. I love me some Kirk Cousins. I think he needs to start. I just think the Falcons as an organization did not really think about the selection here. Or maybe they did think about the selection, but they just were like, okay, who cares, you know? The Falcons screwed up a lot of draft boards, one being the Las Vegas Raiders. And we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders here in a minute, but they screwed up a lot of boards because now teams after that pick started picking differently after the fact. They started picking differently. The Vikings traded up to get J.J. McCarthy. They were goaded in by the Broncos, and the Broncos selected Bo Nix. A lot of stuff happened that just transpired that was just based off the number 8th pick for Michael Penix Jr. to Atlanta. I think Atlanta didn't make a good pick here only because of Michael Penix Jr. doesn't need to be on the bench. He needs to start for an NFL team right now. I think that he needs to learn some, but I think he's more of a let's play him and then he'll find out that way. There's nothing wrong with him sitting. Nothing wrong with him sitting. You're probably thinking to yourself, dude, you just sound crazy right now. Hear me out. He's a pro-ready quarterback already, and what he did at Washington when in Indiana was impressive. Can he learn? He could learn a lot from Kirk Cousins. A lot. He could learn a lot from Kirk Cousins. Do I think that he can start right now? I do. I think he can start right now. I think he could start right now. He could be what Jordan Love is right now, and he could do really, really well. I thought the Raiders were a great pick for him because I think if Gardner Minshew started for a little bit and then passed the keys on to Michael Penix later in the year, I think that could have been something to be beneficial for Michael Penix. But I think the Raiders were a really good spot for Michael Penix, a really good spot. A quarterback that can throw. He's a little bit mobile, but not too mobile. He's a great pocket passer, and he can he has the ability to read defenses in a pro-style level. And I think that Michael Penix to the Raiders would have been a good fit in Antonio Pierce's system. But that's just my thoughts. The Falcons picked him up. He's going to be behind Kirk Cousins this season and maybe the next three after that. And he will learn from Kirk Cousins, and he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league, Kirk Cousins is. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with the Falcons. The Falcons did go on to make some other questionable picks, but we will talk about that here in a little bit. This is just really my recap of the draft from last week and some of my thoughts on some of the picks from last week. I didn't mean to go into a random spout of, okay, here's what happened there. But I'm tying it in together by saying this. The draft was really just kind of unpredictable in a lot of ways. We create these mocks and we create these drafts saying, oh, this is where he's going to go. Now, a lot of the times we get it right. Caleb Williams going to the Bears, we got that right. Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders, we got that right. Drake May. We got that right. We got the first three picks right. But then you start thinking, okay, you look at the Cardinals at 4, Giants at 5, you got Chargers at 5, Giants at 6. Who's going to pick there? You know, who's going to get there? Who's going to, you know, trade up or trade down from those spots? And, you know, who's going to trade the 9 and 10th picks? You know, and then you start thinking and you start going predicting and doing all that. Mocks are just that. Mock drafts, the predictions. We already got odds and betting odds for the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin next year. We already got odds on who the odds on favorite for the number one overall pick for next season is. We can talk about that on college football on Tuesdays because it's a doozy what's going on in what's going on with that right there. But nonetheless, there's just a lot. That's what the mock is. The mock draft is just predictions. You don't know what's actually going to happen until it happens when they're on the clock on draft night. So, you know, like the movie Draft Day, you just don't know. It's unpredictable. It's wild, unpredictable. It's crazy during the day, crazy during the lead up of it all. And it's just a really, really fun process to cover. And I'm very fortunate to now cover two NFL drafts and ready for number three next year in the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So that was just a little bit of my recap of the NFL draft. Before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, we're going to spend probably about 10 more minutes. 10 to 11 more minutes on the winners and losers of the Pigskin Frenzy's actually winners and losers of the 2024 NFL draft from last weekend. Starting with our winners, and I think our winners, we goes out without a shadow of a doubt, it's the Chicago Bears. And that's one winner that we can talk about right there, the Chicago Bears. Let's talk about the Bears and let's talk about their draft class, because the guys that they drafted and the people that they drafted were just unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you want to be real, I mean, it's the truth. Let's talk about the Bears, and let's talk about, you know, who they picked. Especially, they only had five picks. Five picks. They only had five picks. Two in the first round, one in the third, one in the fourth, and one in the fifth. Only had five picks. They didn't have any picks in rounds 2, 6, and 7, but they had two in first round, one in the third, one in the fourth, one in the fifth. They picked Caleb Williams at first. The job now is to develop Caleb Williams. That's the ultimate job. The ultimate job now is to build around Caleb and develop him. Do what you didn't do with Justin Fields. And I hate to, and listen, if we're going to tell the truth. Do what you didn't do with Justin Fields. I understand that wasn't Ryan Poles' quarterback. Ryan Poles wanted a fresh start. He wanted his own quarterback to draft. He wanted his own team coming in, his own vision for the team coming into this season, and he wanted to start over. He wanted to do a do-over and to start fresh. He is starting fresh with quarterback Caleb Williams. I'm not saying Caleb Williams, you know, he's ready in a lot of areas. He will start on Sundays. He's going to start, you know, week one. He's already going to be the starting quarterback, no doubt. My deal is this, when you look at him, there are a lot of things that you need to develop him on, like holding on to the ball for too long. There's a lot of things that you got to develop him on. Caleb Williams, great pick. He was the number one overall pick. You just got to develop Caleb Williams. I love his confidence. I think a lot of it can be mistaken for cockiness. He's the 2022 Heisman Trophy winner. He's done a lot, you know, in college football the past three seasons, one season at OU, two seasons at USC. He's done a lot. And I think that his confidence is what can get him to accomplish his goals in the NFL. And for a lot of these guys who are, okay, he's a cocky kid, he's doing this and all that, listen, he backs it up. He does back it up in a lot of plays. He does back it up. He's trying to win. He's about winning, and he wants to win. There's nothing wrong with that. Tom Brady was like that. He wanted to win. Patrick Mahomes is like that. He wants to win. You think Joe Burrow is cocky? Yeah, he's cocky and he's confident because he wants to win. He believes in himself. Caleb Williams is like that, and he wants to win. He wants to do good in Chicago, and he wants to be successful in this league. Nothing wrong with that. So let's stop with all the Caleb Williams hate in my eyes. My favorite pick was the second pick in the first round for the Bears, and that was wide receiver Rome Odunze from Washington. I love this pick because you're helping build around Caleb Williams. You have Keenan Allen now there. You have DJ Moore. You have Rome Odunze now there. DeAndre Swift behind him. Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet are your two tight ends. Very underrated offensive line. Your offense is going to look pretty set in, you know, going into 2024. It's going to look like really, really good. You're going to have to figure out a way to stop this offense. And it's going to be an offense to where they're going to score on you. And they may be a little bit more improved and a little bit more better as the games go on throughout the year. So Rome Odunze, excellent pick. I think that was one of my favorite picks for the draft. Then they got, if you want to look at round three, Kyren Amadonji, punter from Iowa in round four, Torrey Taylor, and then Austin Booker, edge rusher out of Kansas in round five. They got their needs. They went offensive tackle, wide receiver, quarterback, edge, and they got their needs besides one need, and that was the defensive tackle. They can find and rotate a defensive tackle if they wanted to, but they fulfilled a lot of their needs in this draft. They hit on the points of what they needed to build for the 2024 season and potentially beyond. The next step is to develop Caleb Williams and build around him. If you do that, this draft was a success. To me, they won. They were a winner in this draft because of what they have done and what they have done. So that was one for me. I think a winner here for me, it's Cincinnati Bengals. And you're going to think, how did they win? Let me tell you how they won. They selected an offensive lineman in the first round. They selected a top offensive lineman in the first round. Amarius Mims out of Georgia, solid pick. If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, solid pick. Joe Burrow is doing cartwheels because you need to protect him. To win a Super Bowl, you need to build around Joe Burrow, and you need to protect Joe Burrow. Cincinnati Bengals are a team that can be ready to win it all this season, if the right players are around him, and Amarius Mims could be one of those players. Amarius Mims in the first round. And then in the second round, they got Chris Jenkins on the defensive tackle. They needed another DT. They needed another guy on the defensive front, and they got Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Solid pick here. Very physical defensive tackle. Played with a lot of ferociousness on the line. Good pick in the second round. And then they got Jermaine Burton in the third round. A very underrated receiver pick from out of Georgia and Alabama. Jermaine Burton, you don't know what's going to happen with T. Higgins yet. And I think this is why you pick Jermaine Burton. You pick him as another, you know, as a guy waiting in the rings to take over for T. Higgins once if he does end up leaving the Cincinnati Bengals. So good pick here and safe pick here for the Cincinnati Bengals in the third round. You also got Charlie Jones at the receiving spot as well. Another defensive tackle, and this is going to, you know, be, you know, go do wonders here. McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle in the third round out of Texas A&M. Chris Jenkins, McKinley Jackson, Sam Hubbard, Logan Wilson, and Miles Murphy also. Miles Murphy. That defensive line is going to be ferocious for the Cincinnati Bengals. They can add up and cause a lot of pressure to a lot of offensive lines. They are building up a defensive line that could probably combat a lot of top defensive lines in this league. So they're building up a good defensive line. Eric All out of Iowa, tight end out of Iowa. Them Iowa tight ends, man. Sam Laporta being one of the latest one. Eric All now being the latest one. I mean, you have George Kittle, TJ Hawkinson. I mean, you got a lot of guys out of Iowa. And the Bengals pick up an Iowa tight end who can bring a lot of wonders to them. a corner. They needed a corner. They needed an defensive back. In the fifth round, Josh Newton out of TCU. Another tight end, Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Edge rusher, Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss in the sixth round. And then in the seventh round, another Ole Miss player, a safety. They needed a safety, Dalvin Anthony out of Ole Miss. And then another offensive lineman, a center in the seventh round, Matt Lee out of Miami. So you got a lot of needs that you have met, including two offensive linemen. You got Orlando Brown, you have Trent Brown, you have now Amarius Mims and Matt Lee out of Miami. You got a lot of guys that you're building up here on the O-line. Let's see what the Bengals can do. Let's see how you can protect Joe Burrow, because these guys are top offensive linemen in this, not only in the draft, but you know that they've got and they've signed. So you're doing some wonders this offseason, and this was the goal, to protect Joe Burrow and not let him get hurt again. They're a winner in this draft. Let's talk about a couple of more winners before we move on to some losers in this draft, and we'll conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. A couple more winners. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. A winner, obviously. And what do I mean by winner? Because we're going to get into a winner here for the draft. But the Kansas City Chiefs, first round, right off the bat, they needed a wide receiver. They needed a lot of pass catchers. A lot of it, you know, was kind of a lot of their offense was stagnant during the regular season. Heated up during, you know, into a championship level like that when the playoffs happened. But they needed a wide receiver. A legit wide receiver. We don't know the status of Rashee Rice at the moment. There's been rumors of a suspension for him looming. You got Christian Watson still there. You got Hollywood Brown. You just signed Marquise Brown. Then you go and trade up. The Bills, who were also in dire need of a wide receiver, who probably actually kind of needed a little bit more than the Chiefs now, because they just signed Marquise Hollywood Brown. What do? They traded with the Chiefs, the same team that duped the Bills out of Patrick Mahomes in 2017, and they needed a quarterback. They traded the Chiefs for a need that they needed. This will lead into the Bills here in a little bit. Xavier Worthy was their first trade up, and that was their pick. Round one, the 28th pick in the draft, round one, was Xavier Worthy. They traded up to 28 with the Bills. They picked a receiver, and they picked the best one of them all, or the best one available at the time, Xavier Worthy. And Xavier Worthy, the fastest man in combine history and the fastest man in this draft, is going to the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champions who were trying for a three-peat. You let Xavier Worthy go to the Chiefs. I mean, that's what the league doesn't want, and you just let it happen. So all I got to say is, hey, you let it happen, Buffalo. You let it happen. Offensive tackle, Kingsley Sumataya from BYU. Good pick there. They need some more O-linemen. Jared Wiley, tight end in the fourth round. Jordan Hicks, safety from Washington State. They need another safety to develop after L'Jarius Sneed is now gone to the Tennessee Titans. Hunter Nazard, center out of Penn State, fifth round. They need to build up on the line. Corner out of Tennessee, Kamal Haddon, good pick there. They're going to develop him, and he can develop quite nicely for the Kansas City Chiefs. And C.J. Hansen, offensive guard and offensive lineman from Holy Cross, good pick there for the Chiefs. And they got some needs. They got some of their needs. They hit their point in the secondary, at receiver, and O-line, and to build some more depth on the O-line. That's what they needed. That's what the Kansas City needed. And they hit their needs. They hit their goal. They hit their needs. So the Chiefs are a winner. Pigskin Frenzy's winner in this draft. We did three winners. Let's do four winners. One more winner. And let's go on to three to four losers from this draft. One more winner. And I think... To me, a winner here, and you're going to think, interesting. I'm going to just go on and say it, the Chargers. I went to the Chargers, their division rival, the Los Angeles Chargers, a winner in this draft class. I think they needed some linemen and they needed some receivers, but and they needed a linebacker. I said they needed a linebacker, and they got a linebacker. And some defensive tackles. They also hit the defensive tackle. The only one that they didn't get was a tight end. They didn't get a tight end, but that's okay. They got the majority of their needs, and I think they're winners. Joe Alt was their first pick, like I said, from Notre Dame. Good pick there. He will probably play in the league for about 10 to 15 seasons, I think. He's a solid player, very physical up front, and will help Justin Herbert out a lot. Another man that's going to help Justin Herbert out a lot is Ladd McConkey. You got Quentin Johnson, you got Josh Palmer, but you need more depth at the receiver position, and you got it with Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey is going to be a star on this team, I think. I think he's going to be, you can use him in a lot of plays and a lot of schemes and a lot of like misdirection and a lot of sweeps if you're the Los Angeles Chargers offense. You got that linebacker out of Michigan, you know, Jim Harbaugh's got to get one of his Michigan guys up there, a couple of Michigan guys. Junior Colson at linebacker is in the third round. He goes to the Los Angeles Chargers, and he most likely could start there. At four, defensive tackle, Justin Obogabi from Alabama is their defensive tackle, fourth round. Good pick there. Very physical player out of Alabama. In the fifth round, you got Tarheeb Still, cornerback from Maryland. And then in the fifth round, you pick another corner, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. Good picks there as well. Number five, in the sixth round, you add a backup running back behind Gus Edwards and behind J.K. Dobbins. It's Kamani Vidal out of Troy, running back out of Troy. And then in both of the seventh rounds, you add two more receivers to the depth chart behind Quentin Johnson, Ladd McConkey, and Josh Palmer. And that's Brendan Rice out of USC, son of legendary wide receiver, the GOAT, Jerry Rice. And then Cornelius Johnson, your receiver out of Michigan, is now with the Los Angeles Chargers. So you got some receivers to throw to for Justin Herbert, especially one in Ladd McConkey and Brendan Rice. There are going to be some good selections there. And you got a good O-lineman to protect Justin Herbert with and build around, and some good key defensive pieces to help Jesse Minter out and change the trajectory of that defense. So they keep their defensive stars along with gaining some new ones. The Chargers could be a really good improved team. I think they won this draft by the way they selected and got to their need. So those are four winners: the Chiefs, the Bears, the Bengals, and the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's talk about the losers of this draft, one being the Dallas Cowboys. And listen, I'm not trying to hate at all. I'm just telling it how it is. Did they get some linemen? They did. They got some linemen. They got Tyler Guyton, a phenomenal pick. They got a phenomenal pick. He wasn't the reason why they lost. They got an edge rusher. They really did not need an edge rusher. They needed more of an interior defensive lineman. They ended up getting that in the very last round with Justin Rogers out of Auburn. They got Justin Rogers. They got Nathan Thomas out of Louisiana on the offensive line. They have Cooper Bebby, an underrated offensive lineman choice out of Kansas State. They got some good linemen. But some guys that they did not need. They didn't need a corner. They didn't need a linebacker. And Marshawn Nealon is a great edge rusher, but they did not need an edge rusher. They needed a running back. I think they needed a running back in a lot of areas. I think Jonathan Brooks would have sufficed them. He went to the Carolina Panthers. I think they needed a running back. They needed a center as well. They did not select a center. A lot of these guys cannot transition to being a center. They're mainly just offensive linemen. And that's okay. You need an offensive lineman, but that's all you focused on, basically. And a little bit of defensive players. That's it. And you needed, there were some more needs that you needed, but you didn't draft them. and you didn't focus on it. This offseason was about going all in and about bringing a bunch of change for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there's no change. It's all the same. All of it's the same. There's nothing that's happened for the Dallas Cowboys. Nothing. And I'm not trying to spew hate or anything like that. I'm not. I'm telling it how it is. There's no change. There's not been a change. Nothing has happened this offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. So I would consider them a loser in this draft for not fulfilling all their draft needs in this one. The Falcons are also a loser in this one. I think the Falcons did not need to pick Michael Penix. I think they left Johnny Newton on the board in favor of Rook Ahuraho. And I think Rook Ahuraho was a good pick for out of Clemson. He's not a bad player. I just think there's some stuff that he needs to develop on that Johnny Newton has already got. And they overlooked Johnny Newton for him. So that's one, and that's two technically. And they didn't really fulfill the need of a corner. They needed a corner, and they needed an edge rusher. They got an edge rusher with Braylon Trice. That's good. But they needed more than one edge rusher, and they needed a corner, and they didn't get that going there. So that's one. Those are some needs there that the Falcons really needed that they did not fulfill. And I think the number 8th pick, like I've already said, good pick for in general because it's Michael Penix Jr., but they really did not need a quarterback. And I thought the number 8th pick was kind of a waste in that regard. So the Falcons were a loser in this one. If you look at a lot of these, I honestly thought the Rams were another team that lost. The Rams, they fulfilled a lot of their goals when it came to edge and defensive tackle. They did not select a corner. They needed a corner. I thought they really did need a corner in this one. They got Blake Corum, which was a fantastic addition. They won with a lot of picks that they got because they got a lot of good name players. But I think they needed more O-linemen, and they needed a corner, and they needed to win in the secondary, and they did not fulfill those needs there in the secondary. So I think the Rams lost in that regard. They had a good draft class, but lost in a lot of ways because of the needs that they forgot to hit on. So I would say the Rams are a slight loser, not an all-the-way loser, but a slight loser in this one. And then that was 3. Finally, 4 was the Raiders. They needed a quarterback. They needed a quarterback, and they couldn't get a quarterback. And it's one of those situations where it's like all the top quarterbacks that the Raiders had fell before 13. The 13th pick was on the clock. Did they get Brock Bowers? Yes. They didn't really need Brock Bowers, though. They already had a solid tight end with Michael Mayer. That's going to be a deadly 2 tight end, you know, scenario with Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame and Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Solid tight end pick there. Always a good pick picking Brock Bowers, but they needed a quarterback, and they did not get a quarterback. They got offensive lineman, Jackson Powers Johnson. They fulfilled that. Damar Glaze out of Maryland. And they got good offensive linemen there. They got a corner. They needed a corner. They fulfilled that need with DeCameron Richardson out of Mississippi State. They needed a running back. They got Dylan Labe out of New Hampshire. And they got Trey Taylor out of Air Force, the Thorpe Award winner out of, you know, Air Force, and they got some corners, man. They got some corners in the secondary and some help in the secondary. They just needed a quarterback, and before they were to get one, everything just fell out of Las Vegas's view. So it's one of those things where it's like better luck next year in next year's draft to get a quarterback or in a free agency if you're the Las Vegas Raiders. So some big needs that they needed, they didn't get. I would say more offensive line, more guards, and more and a quarterback. And I think that's why the Las Vegas Raiders have lost in this draft. So Raiders, Rams, Cowboys and Falcons are losers to me in this 2024 NFL draft. That just about does it for Pigskin Frenzy, guys. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. Go and answer today's NFL trivia question on X. You'll get trivia questions on there. Or I'm sorry, on Instagram, you'll answer trivia questions on there, as well as all things of today for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You will find everything and everything up to date, platform and about me wise on the website. And big shout out and thank you to our partners at the Beer Club. Go to my website and my link tree. You will get and meet your beard, grooming, and facial hair needs. Guys, big thank you again. We will be back Tuesday for another edition of Pigskin Frenzy with some more spring results. LSU, South Carolina, UCF, and Georgia Tech are on the clock with our spring football results coming up from our previous Outlook episodes. Spring results are coming up Tuesday. Guys, big thank you. Enjoy your weekend. Hope everyone has a great rest of your Thursday. Guys, until Tuesday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then. Have a great weekend. For everybody out there, stay the course.